Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Divrei Hayamim Beis Perek Vov, the sixth chapter of Divrei Hayamim 2. This is a long perek, it's 42 psukim long, and its parallel parsha is Melachim Aleph Perek Ches. It's almost word for word, concept for concept, that perek, which is a very long perek in Melachim Aleph, and it is one of the most joyous and beautiful times in the nation of Israel's history, when the Beis HaMikdash is completed and Shlomo HaMelech is now blessing the people and he's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He uses this as an opportunity to describe what the Beis HaMikdash is meant to be as well, and this is something which is very important for us to appreciate what we're missing today. The first 11 psukim are the bracha of Shlomo HaMelech. So Shlomo HaMelech starts off by saying, Hashem wants to dwell in darkness, but I built him a beis zvul, a place for him to dwell, the shivtecha olamim, a place that Hashem should be able to dwell for all times. And then he blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says in the following way, that historically, from the day that we left Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't choose or didn't articulate where the city would be, where the place that would be chosen. He didn't articulate who the chosen person to build it would be. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Yerushalayim and he chose David to be the conduit. And now the convergence of those two levels of chosenness, the place and the person, came together to allow David to build it. David HaMelech himself wasn't allowed to do it, but he promised that the person who would sit on his throne in his stead, his son, would be the one to build it. And now you have fulfilled that covenant. So that's really the first introduction to this. It's putting everything into context. This is almost a carbon copy of Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, Psukim Yud Beis to Chaf Aleph. Now, what does it mean at the beginning of the section where he says Hashem wants to dwell in darkness? Hashem Omar Lishkon Ba'arafel. Arafel actually means a dark cloud. So what does that mean? So Rashi and the Radak both point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has historically appeared in a cloud. Because we obviously cannot express, we cannot see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world. So he appeared like on top of Sinai, in Har Sinai, he appeared in a cloud in times of the Mishkan, he appeared above the Mishkan as a cloud, or in a cloud, some sort of imminent experience. So what the Radak and Rashi is saying is that Shlomo HaMelech has just seen the cloud has filled the Beis HaMikdash as a sign that Hashem is really there, imminently in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore they say, well, you know, that gives us great hope that Hashem will also be there in another cloud, not a cloud created by heaven, but a cloud created by humankind. And that is the cloud of the Ketores used on Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol goes lifnai v'lifnim. So we hope, by the fact that you're showing us that you appreciate the house that we made, then hopefully we'll be able to use it and be able to bring about the cloud that will always bring you back, bring you here at least on Yom Kippur as well. What is the purpose of this whole statement? So the Malbim says, if you read this paragraph with the following parable in mind, it will be helpful. Imagine that you have a king who loves a beautiful shoreline, coastline area. It really, when he wants to go to meditate and just escape it all, that's where he goes. And one of his good friends realizes that the king loves this area, so he goes and builds him a beautiful summer home there in that space that he likes it. Now, he says, if the king liked it when it was just the coastline, there was nowhere to stay, surely he'll like it if he can now stay there and have the comforts of a home, also being right there by the sea, by the coast. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, the Nimshal is, if Shlomo HaMelech understood this is a holy place, this is a place you chose, if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, decided to express yourself here, to be here, when there was no house, when it was just a Arafel, it was just darkness, and there was nothing else here, then surely, Mechon Neshivtecha La'olamim, this will be a good place for you for all eternity. Very interesting question is that David HaMelech emphasizes that Hashem never chose the place of the Mikdash, or never expressed where it would be until this point in time. Why did he not? Why was Hashem not more explicit about this? The Rambam in Mori Nevuchim, the third section, Perek Mem Hei, talks about this and he gives a few reasons. He says, and we'd been told where Yerushalayim was at the beginning, when we were still in the desert, firstly, all the nations of Canaan would immediately seize it, as is clear from our history. Anytime that the Jews have a chosen place, all the other religions seem to think it's very important to them as well. So the pagans would have done that, or they would have destroyed it, either seized it for themselves or destroyed it, or even more disturbingly, when Israel came into the land of Israel, they themselves would have fought in tooth and nail, each tribe, to get that place. So Hashem allowed them to conquer the nations and to settle down. And then after settled down and reaching a certain spiritual height and apex, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them as well. We now move on to Psukim Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, where Shlomo HaMelech has a prayer for this place. And he says, He gets up on top of one of the kiorim, one of the wash basins, and he stands there and he gets down onto his knees, opens up his hands, and now he starts his blessing. This detail is not to be found in Melachim, and Rashi says it's being added here. Ezra's adding it to give a sense of how he could be elevated enough for the whole community standing in the courtyard to actually hear and see him. The Chidah also points out that his posture is important. The fact that he's on his knees means that he views himself as a conduit of blessing rather than a source of blessing. So what is the bracha that he gives? From Psukim Yud Dal to Yud Zion. He starts off by explaining that this is a house that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomer HaBris VaChesed VeLavodecho. You kept the covenant, the covenant of the givingness, the charity to your servant by the fact that you promised that David HaMelech would ultimately be the one to build a house, and you promised that he would have a legacy, that no one would ever be leaving the throne from his family. And he says, please let that be true. So he's first praying that his father's promise be true as well. What covenant is he referring to? So Rashi explains the restitution of David, the fact that David HaMelech was able to accomplish this despite all the many bumps along the road, should be a sign to the rest of the people that if you keep your side of the covenant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you. Now he goes on to a very fascinating philosophical concept from Psukim Yud Ches to Chaf Aleph. In this section now, he describes how Hashem is both far and close. He says, you know, on the one hand, the heavens of the heavens are too minute to be able to encapsulate the infinite. And he says, and now, will you even fit into the house that I created for you? It's ridiculous to think that this house will be a place that can encapsulate you, O Almighty. He says, but you turn to this place to hear the rina and the tefillah, hear the different types of prayer of your servant when you pray for it. And he says, let your eyes be open to notice this place, to pay attention to this, to pay attention to all the prayers, and we will pray through this place. So you look towards it, please, Hashem. We will pray through it. The Radak explains that he is dealing with the difficult theological concept, and that is that on the one hand, Hashem is too big for the world, so how can he be in one place? But please, perhaps, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, focus your energy through this place, and we will also focus it. This will be the aperture of connection. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed tells us, Laman Amun Aleph tells us that if a person's in Chutz Laaretz, in the diaspora, they always pray facing the land of Israel. You know, in America and in Europe, they always talk about Mizrach. You know, in other countries, that's not the direction. I grew up in South Africa, and you face Tzafon. There's no Tzafon signs. It wasn't enough of a business, I guess, to put up Tzafon signs in the house, to face north. Nonetheless, everybody faces towards Israel. If you're in Israel, you pray towards Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim, you pray towards the Beis HaMikdash. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you pray towards the Kodesh. If you're in the Kodesh, you pray towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so the Gemara goes on to describes all of these states. These are modes of meditation and focus. And the Gemara finally concludes, how do we know this? It says, because this is called tail talpios. It's a bonula talpios. What is a talpios? It's a tail, it's a heel, shekol pios ponimboi. All the mouths of Israel around the world are all focused towards it. You can imagine every Jew davening around the world, every non-Jew davening towards Jerusalem, towards Israel. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also focused. It's the aperture of connection. That's what's being said in this section. And now we hear about a number of functions of the Beis HaMikdash. What do people pray for there? What is it that we're focusing our tefillah for? So he goes through a few things. In Chav Beis to Chav Gimel, he talks about if a person has a social crime against their friend and they want to atone for it, they come to the Beis HaMikdash and they receive judgment, they bring restitution through the Beis HaMikdash. Then we hear about if there's a war, Im Yigin Ogev Amcha Yisrael Lifnei Oyev, then they'll call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they turn due to Shuvah, daven to Hashem through the house, and Hashem will give them atonement and allow them success. Or maybe there's a drought in Chav Vav to Chav Zayin. In that case, because we sinned, there's no rain, so we'll pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give forgiveness and allow the rain to return. Or it might be any difficult situation that arises from Chav Ches to Lamed Aleph, whether it be a famine, whether it be types of grasshoppers or diseases of the crops, enemies, any types of plagues or sickness. All these times we'll turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and V'nosata l'ish l'kachol drachav, Hashem will respond depending on their situation, meaning it's not a free card. Depending on what you did, the work you did, you can then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer you. So these are all the different situations that are being used for Beis HaMikdash up to this point. What does the refrain mean? Va'ata tishma min hashamayim. You will hear from or hashamayim. The heaven will answer you. That seems to be the refrain in each of all of these four sections. So the Barbanel explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to answer us from outside the scope of this world. You know, psychologically, is a concept that you can't resolve certain problems in the same order of thinking. You need to be outside. You need somebody from outside to shine light on the conundrum that you're stuck in. So in the same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resolving it outside of the scope of nature, is what Zmina Shamayim is being described over here. We also see that the Malbim points out, if you look at all these different situations that a person finds themselves in, they are divided into areas where HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly sends a punishment, like sending an enemy to fight against us, or Hashem just removing his Ashkacha, his protection, and then the rain's not arriving. So these two different types of things that we, or plagues that we need to take notice of to do that necessary, the necessary teshuva to warrant that resolution. And the Abayah now points out as well that the different expressions used here are Rina, Tefillah, and Techina, each meaning a different thing. Rina is praise of Hashem, Tefillah is self-judging, self-correcting, and Techina is requests. For Rav Hirsch is very famous for expressing and publicizing the idea of Tefillah being self-judgment, but the Abayah now said it many centuries before, and in this section actually to be found in Melachim Aleph Perakas. Then we move to a very fascinating section in Pesukim Lamed Beis Lamed Gimel, where he describes, or Shlomo HaMelech describes, the non-Jew, the foreigner, who comes to the land of Israel, and he wants to see, he hears about all the great wonders of Hashem, and he wants to pray in this house, and Hashem will listen to him from this house. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of tefillah for all people. That's what's being described over here. And the Pesukim seem to say that as it's an expression of the Kiddush Hashem, Hashem listens to everybody who comes to the Beis HaMikdash. This idea is expressed in numerous places, so in Yeshayahu Anavi, famously in the Haftarah that we say on a fast day, in Perek Nun Vav, we say, all the foreigners who come to pay homage to Hashem, they'll come to my house, to my holy mountain, they'll bring korbanos, my house is a house of prayer for all nations. This is basic Jewish doctrine. This should be understood very differently to Christianity and Islam, which completely exclude any foreigners from being in the house of worship, so the pain of death in certain instances. Very different. Judaism was not trying to cancel anyone. Judaism was quite comfortable. HaKadosh Baruch was quite comfortable with foreigners coming. There were certain boundaries where in the Beis HaMikdash they could come up to. The Greeks didn't like those boundaries, the Soreg and so on, but nonetheless, the Beis HaMikdash was a place for everyone. The Midrash Tanchuma describes that if the non-Jews knew just how powerful the Beis HaMikdash was for them, they would have been very careful about destroying it, because the Beis HaMikdash offered protection and rain for them as well. As we see, the Korbanos on Sukkos were brought for the non-Jews in the Beis HaMikdash. One interesting thing the Mefarshim point out is that there is no condition in Hashem answering them. The Ralbag points this out, that based on the Midrash Tanchuma in Truma Parshates, where you see that when it comes to Israel, they have to do repentance to pray in the Beis HaMikdash, and then, only then, if they're deserving, according to their ways, that's Hashem, how Hashem responds. When it comes to the non-Jew, Hashem answers it directly. Part of that is the Kiddush Hashem, that they're being answered, and part of that is Hashem treats those who are closest a little more carefully. And so the tefillah requires a little more effort. We now hear another two sections about where we pray. So we hear about a war beyond the borders, from Sukkim Lamed Dalet to Lamed Hay, where we have to go out to war, and then we pray through the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem listens to our prayers, or in Golus even, in Pesukim Lamed Vav to Lamed Tes. What forward-thinking ideas. Shlomo HaMelech is building the Beis HaMikdash, and at this point in time, he's always talking about, even if there is going to be an exile, and there were many exiles, but we pray, v'yispalelu derech artzom, through the land. We push our tefillahs back through the land. Why is this section here? Why doesn't it belong to all the sections beforehand relating to Israel? So Abayah now explains that when it comes to the Gentiles who come to daven the Beis HaMikdash, they actually have to come to the Beis HaMikdash. They can't daven from wherever they want through the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, all the previous four scenarios that we discussed are when the person comes to the Beis HaMikdash to pray. These last two sections of war beyond the bound borders and ultimately leading to exile are times when we can pray even outside the borders of Israel, and that is only afforded to the Jews. That is a special connection the nation of Israel has. And finally, the perek is wrapped up from Pesukim Mem to Mem Beis, where ultimately, he says, Shlomo HaMelech says in such a beautiful way, Hashem, let your eyes and ears be open to all our tefillos through this place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kuma Hashem Elokim Lenuchecha, return to you to your place of resting, Atova Aronuzecha, in the place of your of the Ark of the Covenant, and Kohanecha Hashem Yilbushu Tzeshua V'Chasidecha Yismuchu Batov. Hashem Elokim, Al Toshe Pnei Mishechacha, don't turn away the face of your anointed one, the king. Zochroch Elachaste David Avdecha, remember the kindness of David, your servant. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph gives us a little bit of the subtext to the story that when Shlomo Melech wanted to bring the Aron into the Beis Hamikdash, the gates would not open. They clung together miraculously. Shlomo Melech prayed 24 different prayers and he was not answered, and he turned, Su'ush Arim Rosheichim, open up your gates. And ultimately they didn't listen. And finally, he asked again and he prayed and he says, Al Toshev Pnei Mishichecha, don't turn away the face of your anointed one, referring to David. And then the gates opened and the Aaron was to be introduced. This goes back to the ideas whether David HaMelech was able to gain atonement to allow the Beis HaMikdash to be utilized. The fact that the gates weren't opening might be a sign that there was still hesitation. When the gates finally opened, it was restitution for David and his legacy, that he attained full tshuva. That's perhaps why it is that in Mizmor Lamed, in Tehillim, when we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis to David, this is a song upon the dedication of the house to David, that means to say that by David HaMelech, dedicating the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech dedicating the Beis HaMikdash, it was ultimately the dedication of David. And this closes the most beautiful perek at the conclusion of the bracha of Shlomo HaMelech. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.